Welcome to Why Is This Good, a podcast by the Naples Writers Workshop. I'm Christine and I'm here with John. Hey, John.
Hello.
All right, it is your turn to present a story. What have you chosen?
I picked a story called Sour Milk Girls by Erin Roberts.
This title reminded me of Milk Wishes.
Milk Wishes. Oh, yeah. The story itself reminded me of Celeste Ng, Girls at Play, kind of that horrifying look into
Mean Girls.
Mean Girls. Yeah. As soon as she got the last words out of her mouth, Miss Miranda spun around on her heels and got out of there as fast as she could. I thought the new girl would fall over as soon as Miss Miranda left, but she put her hands behind her back and stuck her chest out, same as the rest of us. Her eyes weren't nearly as scaredy cat as I thought they'd be. She smelled like sour milk for sure, but hot sauce and honey a little bit too. "I'm Brenda," she said. "Brenda Nevins." "That's a stupid name," said Flash. "It's what my daddy called me," said New Girl, thrusting her chest out even more. Like it would cover the way her voice got all wobbly. "Yeah? Well, where's your daddy now?" Flash asked. The new girl's head dropped forward. We hadn't made a bet on whether someone could make her cry, but there were some things Flash would do for free. "She doesn't remember," I told Flash. "You know that." "I remember fine," said the new girl. "It's just that it just happened. He just died, I mean." Flash rolled her eyes. "No way you remember that shit," she said. "Not anymore." She put on her best Miss Miranda impression, high-pitched and piercing. "Your memories of your time before joining the agency are being held for safekeeping until you reach adulthood and can properly integrate them into your daily life." "What are you talking about?" New Girl said. "I remember my dad. He was a..." "Spare me the bullshit," Flash said, voice back low. "Miss Miranda tell you how in your file it says your daddy was a famous wrecker, or a Wall Street corp, or a doctor? Bet if you looked in the grams she took from you, you'd find out he left you chained up in the basement, or he liked to beat on your mama, or maybe you ain't never had no daddy at all." I felt my eyes get hot just a little bit, but New Girl didn't blink. "My daddy was a good man," she said. "Not my fault if yours wasn't worth shit." I backed up two steps so as not to get hit when the fist started flying. A fight was gonna mean discipline and lights out and early curfew for at least 2 weeks. Nothing worse than that and having a black eye. But Flash just laughed. "Damn, girl," she said. "You got balls. Gonna be hard coming up with a name for you." "My dad..." "Your dad won't know any different," I tried to stare some sense into the girl before Flash flipped back to serious and threw her across the room, or started working out how to smother her in the middle of the night. "Leave his name for him and ours for us. I'm Ghost. She's Flash. That's Whispers. We'll figure something out for you."
So, how'd you come across this one?
So the author Erin Roberts is on a podcast about writing. So I was like, I should check out some of her stuff. So I went to her website and just found the stories that she had and was like, all right, let's do this one. I think she teaches as well at a university. I think she has an MFA and went that whole route and just insightful in general.
Yeah, so we've read stories from Clark's world before, so I knew that it was going to be sci-fi, fantasy, whatever.
Yeah, something speculative.
Yeah. And so when they start talking about their memories, maybe if I didn't know where it was published, that element of the story would have been kind of delayed, you know?
When she talks about money and she refers to it as like credits, I think that's a clue too. There's like little things that kind of like cue you into like, oh, this is a specific kind of world. It's not necessarily ours.
Yeah. Or this is a type of kid prison I've never heard of.
That's
It
right.
was definitely weird either way. Like, there's just weird rules at play. I feel like you really do have to read the whole thing before you understand why it is different girls would come to this place for all kind of different reasons. Because you really get the impression, because like you said, it reminds you of Girls at Play, that this is a group of girls that doesn't welcome newcomers for whatever reason. So there seems to be some kind of like a weird hazing going on. But also they don't want to be there. It's like this familiar like prison tropes or something. You got a lot to learn around here.
Oh yeah. My thought like after reading this was like I kept coming back to this phrase that you hear around. It's hurt people hurt people. You know, like these girls are all damaged in some way and they're like expressing that damage by not being inviting, not being accepting and like just having their barriers up constantly.
Right. And it's not until the end that they really explain that the organizers of this group, the people running this prison or whatever, this orphanage,
Orphanage?
whatever you want to call it, it doesn't feel like an orphanage.
It's some weird science fiction version of one, yeah.
Yeah. So it's an orphanage. They're supposed to get adopted out. And then they they break into the system or whatever and read that like research by the end that kind of says, oh, you know, we might have been wrong about the effects of erasing a kid's memory, which I think they do a good job of laying out from the beginning, because these girls are upset. Like you said, hurt people hurt people. They're not just upset because they're in the orphanage. You can also tell that they're somehow damaged from whatever happened before, even if they can't remember it. So the organizers are trying to do a good thing by erasing those bad memories so these girls can hopefully go into their next life without that trauma somehow.
Yeah, it doesn't work.
No, I feel like you spend 5 seconds in this place and you kind of know that even if they don't know where it's from, they feel it, you know? They don't have the memory of what caused it. And I would love to hear how Aaron Roberts came up with this, because I know that there is some science behind, you know, they talk about generational trauma and how children of families that were through like some of the most horrendous things, like historical things, have programmed fear around certain things that you can't unprogram. They show it in like animals too. And I wonder if that had anything to do with it. You know, the idea that like you don't have to have experienced the traumatic thing yourself even to have grown up in a way that your genes and your upbringing and all those things come together to protect you against it in the future.
I read it kind of like, it's not even necessarily whatever the original trauma was, if there was any, and there probably was, but that even just having the memories taken was a trauma itself.
Yeah.
And the way she describes like those headaches and stuff,
right,
it's not a good thing.
Mm-mm.
Whatever their intentions were, whatever the agency's intentions were with the memory thing, it produced its own trauma in addition to whatever they had been feeling.
Yeah.
So it's all like snowballing on top of itself.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. Because on some level, these girls are aware that that was done to them and they end up hating where they are. Makes it hard to relate to the new girls that come in and are like bright-eyed and bushy-tailed like they might have been, right?
Yeah, that's like the section I read. They can't accept this new girl doesn't have or hasn't had some of her memories erased. Like, you can't possibly remember your father.
Yeah, I think she's lying.
That should be gone.
And she even gets to, in the scene that you read, continue using her real name.
Yes.
And they're like, well, we'll come up with a nickname for you. She's like, I'm good. They're like, no.
You're not supposed to have a name.
Yeah. I thought that this had a good, at least for me, it felt like a truly surprising yet inevitable ending, you know?
A horrific ending.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I really did think, though, that our main character here, I really thought that the narrator maybe was going to come around and learn something about this Brenda girl to help the rest of them, you know? I thought maybe she was going to break into this computer system to restore all of their memories for each other, you know, like right this wrong somehow. Instead, by the end, they're stealing her memories. And it seems like this horrible, horrible, like eye for an eye that doesn't really benefit anyone. It just makes them all even. I really thought that the narrator was going to use this to try to get out, because she had that one, I think, failed adoption attempt where when they brought her back, they were like, oh, she's like afraid of the family dog and she's being whatever. And it seemed like fixable and minor, but she's obviously traumatized by having to be like recycled. And instead of figuring out a way to help herself, she just decides to screw someone else over. And then there's that sort of weird twist where she says that she intends to give Brenda her memories back by the end, but we'll never really get to see if that plays out.
Well, she hands him off to what's the pervert, right?
Yeah.
She's like, here, you take him. And it's like, I guess I'm not giving him back. She'll be better off without him.
Yeah.
Although she had experienced them herself, so she could tell her. That's like at the end when she's like,
your real name
is Brenda.
I'll share them with you or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It was disappointing because you wanted these girls to do better for themselves, you know?
Oh, yeah.
I don't want you to be a better person. I don't care. But I want you to like get out of this like a little less like damaged by it, you know? And instead, whether or not she realizes it now, she might have like trauma from having done this, you know?
Yeah, that's like the hurt people heart. It's like, this is someone who has been so traumatized that she's going to inflict that trauma on other people.
Yeah. It's like a dog eat dog situation. And it's like women's prisons or whatever, where you just screw people and it's just to get a leg up for yourself the next day. You know, they're like surviving in a lot of ways too. I like to imagine that even if she doesn't get adopted out, you know, maybe she'll age out of the system. Maybe that's a factor for them in this world. And maybe by then when she's just out there in the real world, she's not going to worry so so much about like taking everyone else down a notch because the survival mentality will be there, but the circumstances will be a little more fair somehow. Not fair, but you know, there'll be resources for her. She'll have a little more agency. Maybe she won't have to simply hurt people around her. Maybe she can like rise above it. But yeah, we don't really get to see that. We just kind of have to hope that she's got better intentions than this. I don't know.
It's an interesting ending in that she performs the trauma. She's the one who hacks the computer. She's the one who figures out how to do the thing to erase the memories or to steal the memories, and then she gives them away. But then she turns around and whispers the memories into the other girl's ear, to Brenda's ear. And you're like, it's a little softening, but it's still like, it's terrible.
I wonder what, I guess, what she thinks of herself. Like you said, she maybe says she intends to share the memories, but then she gives them away. And does she think she's being kind in this moment? I don't know. Like, we get the sense that because she's the hacker, that like she's engineering this idea and executing it, but maybe we're forgetting that she was also influenced by these other two girls who are like,
Yeah.
we have to do
Wasn't it
this.
like Flash came to her and said, "Hey, I have an idea." And then it cuts to the next scene.
So maybe that's a little more at play than like we're giving her credit for, you know? Like maybe she feels like she has to do this and she's being kind by calling her this name.
The story is a great exploration of character. We really get this character. We figure out, we can see a lot of who she is in here. Even that conflict of doing a terrible thing, trying to do a good thing. You know, the moment when she handed it off.
The USB or whatever it was.
They called it the gram, seems to be an abbreviation of something. But she says, "I fished the cube with princess." They wind up calling her princess, which fits. "I fished the cube with princess's memories out of my pocket. It was the only one I had, but she'd be better off without it. Who wants to find out at 18 that their life has been so fucking pathetic? Screw having something real." She just hands it off, and like that's her decision. And I just wrote next to it, "Oh my God." What a thing to do. What an act. It's like momentous, but she makes it feel just blasé,
Minor.
minor. Yeah. There are these little moments where it feels like the narrator is looking for connections, like just kind of just finding humanity. You know, when they're plotting this idea, or when they're at some point during it all, she's like, Flash wanted to erase every memory the princess had. And the narrator, it's Ghost, right? Am I remembering
Oh, yeah, I
that?
think you're right.
But the narrator's like, "I was going to give Princess the memories back at 18 anyway. Sooner, maybe. Once I was living with a foster in some big house with nice kids and no dogs." You know, she's like, Jess's idea is that, like, if things work out for me, then things can work out.
Then I'll help other people out.
I want to connect with the world. I want to connect with other human beings, you know? And then when she's reliving Princess's memories, when she's going through Princess's memories, it's like the thing she connects to is like the fact that she had somebody there, like she had this real connection with her father. Like, it sounded like a miserable existence. Her father wasn't like this amazing person. He was an alcoholic. He just died one day. But the fact of the connection was enough for her to like envy it, you know? So the fact that Ghost wants to connect with people, wants to have a foster family, has that attachment to human connection, erases that from Princess, and then just gives it away. That's the cruelty of it, right?
Maybe she doesn't realize she actually like missed an opportunity then, you know?
Yeah, exactly. But she's so traumatized herself that she can't see it. She doesn't feel it. There's this whole section of dialogue in the middle when they're confronting Princess about her memories and the fact that she has them. And then they go to hack into the computer system to find out, like, why does she still have her memories? And then they go back to hack in to find out what's up with their memories and whether they can get them back. All that dialogue and that kind of scene where it's the back and forth is a really great example of how you can focus the scene on like the current conflict, the current exigencies of the characters, like what's happening now, what they care about in the moment, but also explain the whole background of what happened. I mean, part of it is that they are interested in the background. They're interested about why are our memories gone and hers are not, which is like the whole setup, the whole premise. So the fact that the characters are exploring that is an excuse to dive into that information. But the focus of the scene isn't on the information as information about the past, it's how it affects them them at the current moment.
Right.
And so they're reacting to it in the moment. They have feelings about it in the moment. They're fighting about it in the moment. And that keeps the scene in the moment, even though
Right.
it's background information. It's really well done. It's the kind of thing, like, if you take it apart, you can really learn from.
Yeah, kind of like the opposite of this Maid and Butler stuff that we talk about.
Yes, exactly. It is like, if you do it right, you don't get Maid and Butler, you get this.
Right. Something that furthers it, something that's new even for the characters, but at the same time is like it's achieving what Maid and Butler tries to do through dialogue. Yeah, that is a good example to study because sometimes Maid and Butler is necessary. It's just that the reason we don't like it is because it's so stilted and poorly done. And the idea that a maid and a butler would have to be saying to themselves, "The king who we serve." Can you imagine?
As you know, Butler, the walls here are red.
That's like
And
you and
that
your
symbolizes.
coworkers like saying things like, "Of course, our boss will be here soon. The man that we work for at company Acme."
Did you know, Sarah, that we are required to produce 1,000 units every day?
Yeah, it's so
Yeah, I
dumb.
know that. What are you telling me that for?
Yeah, so this is a good example of like how to do that like correctly. Well, I'm trying to think of like a takeaway from this in terms of what you could apply to your own work. And I don't know, I'm kind of struggling because what I mostly thought about as a personal takeaway was just how, like I said earlier, this is not a story I'll necessarily remember as having been sci-fi. So there can be like a lighter touch to that, you know, but you'll still be maybe pigeonholed somehow into publications like Clark's World. I don't think that's a bad thing. It's
No.
just there might be something that you don't have to be coming up with these worlds or characters that all strictly fit into that kind of a genre. There can just be an element that makes it that genre. So I think that's another reason why people feel like they're turned off to writing these kinds of stories, you know? And I wouldn't think of myself as someone that would ever want to maybe write, you know, when we think about fantasy, it's always dragons and stuff. I don't want to write any of that kind of stuff. I really don't. You know, I don't have any interest in that. But I do sometimes have interest in something like sci-fi, where, like you said, there's just something like lightly speculative. And it's usually, we're not inventing science here. None of us is that good. Some people are just stretching and expanding things that we've already touched on in real life as humans or grappled with or thought about. So it's like things like time travel. You might come up with a new machine for your characters to use, but the concept of time travel and can we do it and who has been around for how long? We've read about that how many millions of times? I mean, like people like erasing each other's memories. Like we saw that as kids in Men in Black. Like these are not like new ideas, but they're just like a light touch on something that lets you explore the more human question, which is, you know, why would we do that to someone else? And what really happens if we were to, not just as plot devices.
I mean, this even echoes like what they did to these girls in this story echoes kind of some of the horrifying real world medical experiments that they did.
Yeah.
They used to lobotomize people and they used
Yeah.
to do other crazy things. Some of those were thought of as legitimate treatment that turned out to not be that great, and some of them were just experimental. I mean, you can think about what they did to people at Auschwitz and
Yeah.
Mengele and the doctors there. Horrifying things that you can kind of twist and say, what if it looked like this?
Right.
Because in this story, like, memory is such a part of who you are. It's like, who are you without your memories? That is a question that's hard to answer in a non-science fiction way, right? If you're writing fiction about that. I mean, you can do things like amnesia, car accident that gives you amnesia and stuff like that, which and has been done. But this is such a point, like, we're going to specifically remove particular things. Like, being able to think about it in that way lets you get some real nuance into the character exploration.
Yeah, I think how you just summarize that maybe is kind of like a good way to summarize the story overall. Like, who are you without your memories? You know, because at the beginning, it's kind of hard to tell these three characters apart other than their nicknames. They all seem like similarly angry and similarly vengeful and stuck. And this Brenda girl, she's not crazy. She's just upbeat and remembers things. You know, she's not wildly different. In a real scenario, they might easily be friends. She's not like aggressively like loud or friendly even. She's just normal. And it's almost like when they do remove her memories, you can pretty safely assume that she's going to turn into some version of them, right? Where she's upset and she sees the next person come in and she there's something about that that irks her, you know?
It is interesting the differences. Like, they are are basically all reacting in a similar way, but like Whispers is like really broken. And then Flash is broken in a different kind of way. You know, Ghost is kind of like, she's the narrator as well. So you kind of like, can you imagine being in Flash's head for this story? That would be a different
Yeah,
experience.
like manic almost.
Yeah. But they are, like you said, they've all suffered the same thing. And they're just
Yeah.
kind of like different versions of that.
And it all comes out, I would argue, in the same way. They all agree as a result that this is how we treat other people. And that's
Yeah,
what
exactly.
feels the most like it's just that's what we've been boiled down to. We've been hurt. So, like you said, we're going to hurt other people. That's fine. That's normal. We have to. Yeah.
Yeah. So my takeaway on this is I was thinking about this as like it's interesting to explore characters that do terrible things. There's kind of a tendency sometimes to think about fiction as being self-expressive. And so like your narrators are basically you, right?
Yeah.
Like I'm gonna write like a first-person narrative. That's just me. The character's gonna react the way I would react and this kind of stuff. And it's like, let me explore this idea as myself. But characters that apart from like being just an expression of yourself.
Yeah.
Asking yourself, what would someone else do? What would a
Yeah.
really broken person do? Like, I would never steal anybody's memories,
Right.
but to like take the story and say, how would a hurt person hurt someone? Right?
Yeah.
That kind of question, or something like that. Then you can really start to explore like a different kind of character, or a person that's not, it's not mere self-expression. It's actually exploring humanity. It's like, what are human beings really like? Because human beings are capable of this, of doing that.
Right.
What gets you there?
Yeah, maybe that is a good way to think about like building these characters too. Like you said, not what would I do in this scenario, but what would a person who's been through this? Because yeah, I do have that tendency myself, and I'm sure a lot of writers do, whether or not they realize it, of just writing main characters that are themselves or better or worse versions of themselves. It's not fun for me to like imagine like a wildly different main character because I'm pretty cool, you know?
That's right.
Yeah. So that's a good way to think of it too.
Yeah, I think, I mean, it requires us to think of fiction as being not entirely self-expressive, is I think part of it. It's more of an exploration of the world, of other
Right.
people, of potential people than merely myself. Although, you know, you can't help but you have to draw on yourself to come up with that in the first place, right?
To come up with it, and then maybe what makes writing unique is that even if you are coming up with these characters, your writing is unique because you're comparing it to your baseline, you know, like,
Yeah.
and like it's through your filter of what's right and wrong.
It's like maybe something happened in your life and you're like, I did the right thing in that moment, but what if I didn't? What if I did some other thing? And you can kind of like play with that idea. It's like, what if I were a different person? And
Yeah.
that's how you get characters that are not you.
Slightly different. Yeah. All right. Thanks, guys. If you enjoyed this episode, consider joining our Patreon. Your support helps us keep the show running. Find out more at patreon.com/whyisthisgoodpodcast. And for industry news, writing tips, and great short fiction, join our Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/NaplesWritersWorkshop. You can also subscribe to our monthly newsletter at NaplesWritersWorkshop.com.